I want you to turn in your Bibles again to Romans chapter 8, which Brother Gabe read a moment ago. And I just want to lead the last, Romans chapter 8, the last few verses of that chapter. Start with verse 35, Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now one other scripture, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Now my subject this morning is one that's been argued and debated for centuries. And able men have argued over these words. My subject can be called by many names. It can be called once saved, always saved. It can be called once in grace, always in grace. It can be called the eternal security of the believer. It can be called the perseverance and preservation of the believer. But our Lord puts it in very plain words in John chapter 10. So let's start reading with verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said to him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said to you, now listen, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's as plain as it can be stated. That's as plain as it can be said. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And nobody is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The hymn writer we sang a moment ago, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. And that's so, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. Now I'm going to leave an outline with you, and I want you to remember. What is this doctrine? Once saved, always saved, which we're preaching. What is this doctrine? The second point is this. what does God's Word say about this subject? And thirdly, why is it so important? All right, here's the first point. What is this doctrine I'm preaching? You know, last Sunday, I brought a message on this subject. Christ said, my doctrine's not mine. My doctrine is the doctrine of Him who sent me. And He calls His sheep, His people, His sheep over and over and over and over again. And He said, my Father gave these sheep to me, and nobody's ever able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. How did the Lord get these sheep? The Father gave them to Him. Look at verse 29. How did He get the sheep? My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of His hand. That's how He got His sheep. The Father gave them to Him. Well, what did the Savior do for His sheep? Well, look at verse 14 in John 10. John 10:14. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Father gave them the sheep, and He laid down His life for them. Look at that next verse. And other sheep I have, which are not of this particular fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall come to me. They shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. How did He get them? The Father gave them to Him. What did He do for them? He died for them. What do the sheep do in response? They come to Him. They hear His word and believe on Him, and they come to Him. This promise of God is eternal life, eternal grace, eternal security. And He gives it only to His sheep. Once in Christ, always in Christ. Isn't that true? Once in Christ, He chose them. They're crucified with Christ. They're risen with Christ. They're seated with Christ. So once in Christ, they're always in Christ. How could it be otherwise? They're children of God, and they're always children of God. They're always sons. Now are we sons of God. How can they lose eternal life? How can they cease to be sons of God? In Christ, always. Sons of God, always. And they can never be otherwise than this scripture we read a while ago. God justified them. Who unjustified them? How can anyone unjustify them if God justified them? Sanctified them. Washed them. Accepted them in the Beloved. Once passed from death into life, always living. Eternal life. Now, I'm not saying that a believer never sins. I'm not saying that at all. Often, everybody here, to our grief and to our sorrow, we say things, we do things, and we think things that we shouldn't say, shouldn't do, and shouldn't think. That's just so. Abraham, I'll give you a few illustrations. Abraham, to protect his own life, to preserve his own life, denied his own wife. Abraham did that. Righteous Lot. Righteous Lot abode in Sodom. And he did some very bad things. Jacob. Jacob denied his father and his brother. Tricked them. Deceived them. And his mother had a part in it. David sinned, tried to hide it, and then killed one of his dearest friends. Peter denied his Lord 3 times. Then when our Lord questioned him about it, he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. You know I love you. Absolutely." Paul and Barnabas. Did you ever read that scripture that talks about Paul and Barnabas having a falling out? They had a dandy. You see, Paul went on a mission trip with Barnabas and took John Mark with him. And John Mark quit them. He left them. And Paul said, "He's not coming back with us anymore." And Barnabas said, "Well, if he's not coming, I'm not coming. Believe it or not." And so Paul and Barnabas had a contention. And Paul left Barnabas and went with Silas. And then later, Paul sent word and said, "Bring John Mark. I need him. Have great love for him." You see, so true believers never totally and finally depart from Christ. They can. They'll always repent. They'll always return to the fold. And they'll always grieve over their faith. Always. True believers. Let me tell you something. True believers may lose the comfort of grace, but never lose the grace. They may lose the comfort, but not the grace. Because they're saved by grace. They're redeemed by grace. They're begotten by grace. That's right. True believers may lose the feeling, but not the fact. Can't be. See, feelings come and feelings go. And feelings are deceiving. Our warrant is the Word of God. We believe it. True believers may entertain doubts and fears about themselves, but never about Him. True believers entertain doubts and fears about ourselves, but never about Christ, because I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded. I am confident. I am persuaded He is able to keep that which I committed to Him entirely, wholly, completely to Him against that day of judgment. All right. What is the doctrine? My sheep, my Father gave them to me. I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. And nobody can pluck them out of my hand. Nobody can take them out of my Father's hand. That's what we're preaching. And that's so. All right, here's my second point. What does God's Word say about this doctrine? What does God's Word say about the preservation and the perseverance of the people of God? Well, years ago, riding down the highway, and Doris and I saw a sign out in front of a church. Big sign, big letters. And the sign said this: God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You ever see that sign? It's not God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And I looked at her and I said, "What's wrong with that?" She said, "I don't know what's wrong with it." I said, "Well, change it. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it, whether I believe it or not." God's Word doesn't depend on you believing. God's Word depends on God. God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. But I believe it. I believe it. Listen to the Scripture. Listen to this. I'll just quote these for you. John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall never come into condemnation." Never Listen to this, John 6:30. All that my Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. No way. Can't be. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will finish it until the day of Jesus. Did he start it? He finished it. The Almighty God always finishes what he starts. And Jude wrote this. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. Now unto him that's able to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To him, the only wise God and Savior, to him be glory, dominion, majesty, from now ever, forever. Let me show you something here. You think carefully about this. What Scripture says about the security of God's people. Our Lord has attributes, characteristics. Our Lord has offices. Our Lord Jesus Christ is this to every believer. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. You know what Scripture? He's the head of the church. What kind of head is it that loses his church? Tell me. Christ is the head of the church. What kind of head would he be if he lost some of the members of his church? Christ Jesus is our shepherd. What kind of shepherd is he that loses a sheep? He won't lose a one. He went after that lost sheep and searched till he found him. Put him on his shoulders, brought him home. What kind of shepherd is a shepherd that loses? Christ is the bridegroom. What kind of bridegroom is it that loses the bride? She's the main part of this wedding feast. The marriage supper of the Lamb. He's the bridegroom, and they're his bride. And he's not going to lose a one. Christ being come, listen, a high priest of good things to come. Will his atonement fail in your case? Will his blood be shed in vain in your case? No, sir. My sheep hear my voice, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never, not a one of them. Christ is the King. King of kings and Lord of lords. Christ is the King. They're chosen in him, called in him, faithful in him. Shall he lose those faithful ones? No. I want you to turn to a scripture. I believe you read it before, but let's turn to Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Chapter 3. What is the scriptural proof that Almighty God will keep his sheep and not lose one of them? Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14 and 15. I want you to read this. I got it marked in my Bible, a circle around. I know, Ecclesiastes 3, 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, did he save you? Did he save me? Did he call you? Did he call me? If God did it, it shall be forever. Not temporary. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. For God does it that men may fear God. That which hath been is now. And that which is to be, already be. And God requires that which is past. I know that what God does is a blessing. You can't put anything to it, can't add anything to it, and you can't take anything out of it. If God did it, it is forever. That's what that song said. That soul, that last verse, that soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. And that soul, though all hail, and Job experienced this, all hail, Satan attacked him. Satan did. Took all his things away from him. And that soul, though all hail, should endeavor to shake. God says, I'll never forsake. Once saved, always saved. Once in grace, always in grace. Once in Christ, always in Christ. Son of God, never be anything else but a son of God. Some sons of God wander here and there. But God brings them home. Always brings them home. This my son, that prodigal son that left, was he his father's son? He was his father's son. He's there. His son, he left, and he was his son when he came back. And the father said, this my son was lost. God always finds his son and always brings him home. Write it down. Now here's my third point. Why is this doctrine of once saved, always saved, once in grace, always in grace, why is this doctrine of perseverance and preservation of the sheep, why is it so important? I'll tell you three reasons. Number one, because the promise of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And it's called the gospel. And the gospel means what? Bad tidings. Good news. That's what the gospel is. Good news. The angel said, fear not. For behold, we bring you good news. Good news. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. That's good news. That's glad tidings. It always has been and always will be. It's good news that God loves sinners. That's good news. It's good news that Christ died for sinners. It's good news that Christ died for all our sins and put them away. It's good news that we're washed, sanctified, justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good news that our names are written in heaven and we're children of God and we have a home, a mansion, a dwelling place, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. But hold on, wait a minute. Even after and in spite of what God's done for us, in spite of what Christ accomplished for us, in spite of what the Holy Spirit reveals to us, is it possible that I still might stand at the judgment and hear him say, I never knew you? That wouldn't be good news. That wouldn't be good news. Not at all. No good news about that. No, sir. Once you get to thinking, once you get to supposing that a true believer can depart from Christ and lose his soul, my friends, you take the good news out of the gospel. It's gone. There's no good news. It's all good news about Christ. It's all good news. We'll never hear him say, depart from me. Never. And I'll tell you this. Here's another reason why it's so important. The perseverance and preservation of God's sheep reveals the person and work of our Lord, and the person and work of our Lord is always sure and certain. work of Christ is always sure and certain. What did Isaiah write? Listen, it pleased God to bruise him. It pleased God to make his soul an offering for sin. The pleasure of the Lord shall be accomplished in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He shall bear their iniquities. He shall not fail. He shall not fail. He shall not even be discouraged until he sets the judgment in all the earth. This is my Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I lose nothing, but I raise it up again at the last day. All right. Perseverance, preservation of his sheep is good news. That's our gospel. Perseverance and preservation of his sheep is the work of Christ. That's sure and certain. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. And the perseverance and preservation of God's sheep gives comfort. Real, genuine comfort to the people of God. That's right. Comfort. I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. The good news of the gospel is a comfort. Now, you know the road that the people of God travel, it's not an easy road. It's not an easy road. In this world you shall have tribulation. In this world you shall have trial. But be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. I've overcome this world. There's not anybody here of any age at all that has not endured trials and troubles, heartache, tribulation. That's not an easy road. No, it's not. Not an easy road. But listen, we have comfort. Listen to Isaiah chapter 4. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins and iniquities. We have, let me tell you, we have within us a nature. Brother Paul preached on this recently. We have within us a nature and a heart that's weak. Sometimes it's fickle, but it's always firm. He gave it to us. Sometimes it's cold, but in him it's always warm. That's right. Sometimes it's doubtful, but all time looking to him, we trust him. We trust him. Because God is greater than our heart. Let me show you that scripture. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. This is a beautiful, beautiful verse here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. Listen to this. 1 John 3, verse 19. Hereby we know that we are of the truth. Truth of God, the gospel, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, if we find they're fickle and that they're cold and that they're doubtful, if our hearts condemn us, and they do sometimes, don't they? God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. And beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence, not in ourselves, in him. Yes, sir, we have a a nature, a heart that condemns us often. And then secondly, we're surrounded by a world. You know, I spoke this morning on the radio and said, my sheep, they shall go. He said, he that believeth on me and his sheep shall go in and out. In and out and find pasture. His sheep go in to the worship of God, to the fellowship of God, and to the presence of God. But his sheep have to go out into the world and earn their living in the world. That's right. We're surrounded by a world that hates God. We're surrounded by a world that does not believe in God. When you go to the place where you work, you associate with, and work among people who don't believe God and who are obliged to put every stumbling block in your way if they can and ridicule what you believe. And we have the cares of the home and of children and of our business, the cares of sickness and sorrow. But I tell you this, God's greater than all these things. They'll go into his fellowship. They'll go out and earn their living in the world and come back into his fellowship. That's right. They'll never depart. They'll never totally fall away. They're God's sheep. Let me show you a scripture over in Job chapter 17. Job chapter 17. I think this will be a blessing to you. Once saved, always saved. Once in grace, always in grace. Once a son of God, always a son of God. And look at Job chapter 17, verse 9. Let's see if I can do something with this. The righteous, the believer, the sheep, the child of God, also shall hold on his way. He's going to hold on his way. And he that hath clean hands, who cleaned them? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed them from all sin. He that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Now watch that. The righteous shall hold his way. He's never going to depart from it totally, completely, absolutely not. Now, listen to me. He may not always travel with equal speed, but he'll hold his way. That's right. The hold of truth, he'll hold. He may not always travel with equal speed, but he'll hold his way. And notice this. He does not always travel with equal zeal and enthusiasm. But he'll hold his way. Yes, he will. It's the way of Christ. It'll grow stronger and stronger. And he may not always travel with great equal success. He may be rich or he may be poor. He may be in health and he may be in pain. He may be in joy, he may be in sorrow. He may be success and he may be in failure. But he'll hold his way. That's what that says. The righteous shall hold his way. And he that hath clean hands, in his heart, in his faith, in his belief, he'll get stronger, stronger, stronger. Because he loves Christ. And Christ loves him. And one more scripture. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, it's to God. Well, it be sober, it's for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that loved them. Loved us and died for us, we'll continue with it. I was preaching in Pennsylvania one time, years ago, and a widow lady in the church invited the pastor and I to come to her home for dinner and lunch. And we went, and her only daughter in the home with us, having lunch with us. And I knew that her father, the girl's father, was a doctor, and the widow's husband was a doctor. He died, of course. So I asked her, I said, tell me about your husband. Tell me what. The girl spoke up and said, let me tell you. Well, my daddy was a doctor. Wonderful, the wonderful daddy. And but he had a bad heart, had a heart problem. But we went to the beach on the vacation, my dad and my mother and me. And we were having a little picnic on the beach, deserted beach. Nobody was there, just the three of us. And we were having a picnic. I was 10 years old, and she said, I got out in the water, kept going out further in the water, and I got in real trouble, and I couldn't get back, and I yelled for my father. My father jumped up, ran down to the beach, swam out to me, put his arms around me, and took me to the shore, put a towel around me, and he sat down holding his heart. Said, I love my dad. I'm grateful for my dad. He died in order that I might live. He died for me, and I lived before my mother. Remember his love for me. Well, I'll tell you, this is what he died for us, that we which live should henceforth not live for ourselves, but unto him. Loved us and died for us and rose again. That's my strength, that's my motivation, and that's my desire to preach the gospel, and also that of your dear pastor. The love of Christ could strengthen us. If he died for us, we live. We never stop living. All right, may God bless you, Brother Gage.
Hymn number 400, Stand Together. First and last verse.